Well, the world is giving South Africa a huge thumbs up for the government of national unity. I've got to read this to you from The Economist, which is our partner in the UK, or one of our partners in the UK, and the most authoritative and highest reputation publication on earth. They say that 30 years after 1994, the Rainbow Nation has shown that it still has lessons in democracy for the rest of the world. High praise indeed. And one of the key players in the government of national unity that South Africa will be participating in over the next few years is Mr. Velinkosini Tlabisa, the president of the Inkatha Freedom Party. He's with us now. Mr. Tlabisa, it's high praise indeed coming from the international community. I know you're well connected and have many people around the world who've been watching this. What has the reaction been that you have received?
Thank you very much, Alec, and greetings to the viewers of the Biz News. South Africa has reached a turning point, as we referred to the elections on 29 May, that it will be a turning point in the country of South Africa, where a majoritarian principle will be replaced by a coalition government. We are exactly there. Yesterday, the government of national unity was inaugurated, which is formed by a combination of political parties, chiefly amongst is the ANC, Democratic Alliance, the IFP, and other smaller parties. These parties agreed to come together as a mandate of the voters, because the voters did not give one political party a majority to govern South Africa. They said, you work together, find a common ground, and take South Africa forward. This is a special moment for our country, where the available abilities, skills, will collectively work together to balance each other and also work as checks and balances, so that all the ills that happened, especially in the past 20 years, are brought into an end, and the available resources are not used as it had happened through corruption, but benefit the people of South Africa. We had long prepared for this period. The IFP has been part of study tours to countries like Denmark, Germany, countries with experienced coalition government that is successful. We learned good lessons, which we will share on daily basis in shaping the government of national unity, which is a coalition government, because it is not a choice of the political parties, but it was a decision by voters to say, you work together, find common ground, take our country forward.
It requires a lot of humility, and I was wondering what it was like in the negotiations with particularly the ANC and the DA. How did you find each other in those discussions? Was it a tough road?
Indeed, Alec. There is a framework document which was signed yesterday as a preliminary guide to the GNU. The framework is still going to be refined and given details and create structures like deadlock mechanism, that what do you do when you arrive at a deadlock, create a political council which must meet consistently, weekly, so that you do not wait for problems to occur and then convene a meeting, but you have standing meeting. Indeed, it is true. It's a combination of divergent political views. But what will help? The IFP and the Democratic Alliance have been members of the multi-party charter. We took 12 months meeting every fortnight, preparing for a new government. Unfortunately, the ANC was not there. We had different positions in terms of policies, but we tried to find a common ground. The next step now, the leading political parties in government with divergent views in terms of policies, they need to find a synergy on key areas. It cannot just change overnight that we have one policy on foreign matters, in economy, and a variety of issues. But we need to identify the common grounds and what can take our country forward. Where we have divergent views, involve expertise to come and assist you to get a common ground, because the responsibility in front of us, take the country forward. Your differences, find a synergy. Find what will work for the people of South Africa. Go beyond your political ideologies, because political ideologies, Alec, can be good for a political party, but not good for the country. You may believe in a particular political idea, only to find it is not helping to take the country forward. We need to revisit the reality that the key challenges of poverty, unemployment, weak economy, crime, corruption, load shedding, they don't need much a political ideology. They need a practical approach, short turnaround time to solve these problems and make people see future being relived again during their lifetime.
For many of us, it feels similar to 1994. Is that an exaggeration or perhaps idealistic, or are we at a second transition for the country?
The only difference between now and 1994, in 1994, the ANC had a big majority. They could take a decision alone. In 2024, they don't have the majority. The decision must be a consensus decision. If it is not a consensus, it must be a sufficient consensus decision. And if it can't be reached even through consensus, there must be a deadlock, a breaking mechanism. What is similar? You have extended brains beyond one political party working together, which allows the country to tap in the talent, skills, and abilities it has across political parties. And you have sufficient checks and balances. We will be a watchdog one to the other. Corruption will be priority number one, that we ensure it is brought to an end. And we are all vigilant because we know it robbed our people billions of dollars of rands that should have made a big change in our country. The only difference then between now and 1994, the ANC cannot willy-nilly make decisions which do not make sense, because it will need the support of other partners in the GNU.
What about KwaZulu-Natal? You have worked together as a government of national unity to get a very small majority there, and the IFP will have the premier back in KZN. But is that, given the forces on the other side and the threats that are being made by Jacob Zuma and MK, is that something that will be sustainable?
Yes. Yesterday, the premier was elected. KwaZulu-Natal is now under the IFP. We are confident. The government that was inaugurated yesterday will take the province forward. The MK is going to be engaged so that it plays a meaningful role in taking our country forward. Because you see, the MK was not present in the National Assembly yesterday. It's an indicator of a party that is still trying to resolve certain major problems, which at most are internal issues. And what happened in KwaZulu-Natal, there was a new group that came wanting to replace those who were gazetted. And that is also an indicator of a political party with deep internal issues to resolve before it can be entrusted to make a contribution, let alone to lead the province. Because if you, on a day of inauguration, you don't understand that you can't bring someone new who is not gazetted, you can't expect more. Now, our approach is to engage the MK, that get your house in order, deal with the issue of whether you accept the results or not, deal with the issue of the court case, make a final position so that we will understand, do you want to build or you are not in the mood to build because you're still fighting. I hope very soon they will have the house in order and start to make a meaningful contribution, and through involvement, they will become part and parcel of taking the province of KwaZulu-Natal forward, and also come and contribute in the National Assembly as well as other provinces in our country.
What about the position of the NFP, the National Freedom Party, which is the one single seat in the KZN government, which gives the government of national unity the position of majority there? How secure is that one seat?
The NFP made the right decision and took the interest of the people of KwaZulu-Natal at heart. Because if the NFP chose to support the MK, it will be choosing a deadlock. Now, if you apply brakes and then you want the car to move forward, but you are putting all your pressure on brakes, you are not assisting the car to go forward. Now, that one vote is what will make KwaZulu-Natal accelerate if it belongs to the GNU of the province. And I am confident if the NFP want to see another day in politics after the next election, it will always act in the interest of taking people of KwaZulu-Natal forward. The only way to take people of KwaZulu-Natal forward is to be on the side of the GNU that will go forward. If you pull out from the GNU, you are creating a deadlock and people will judge you harshly in the next elections.
In July 2021, there were riots well documented in KwaZulu-Natal. There have been subliminal, at least, threats that this will be repeated. How prepared would the government of KZN and indeed the government of national unity be for a repeat of what happened then?
Yeah, everybody is vigilant, in standby, for anything. And the people of KwaZulu-Natal have seen a lot during the violence in the early 90s. No one wants to see that time coming back again. The 2021 July riots came up unexpectedly, and everybody knows the impact. Some businesses closed up to date, and people lost jobs. Really, people would not entertain doing that again. I am confident that the MK will do what is right. People voted the MK to go and represent them in government. Whatever views they have, they must express those views in government. If they object to the results, they must follow the court process to challenge the outcome. The point then of resorting to violence will not be a suitable thing to do for the interest of the Umkhonto weSizwe as a political party, and also for the people of KwaZulu-Natal. I'm sure if the MK see that they can't make it through the court of law, they will get into a constructive engagement of how they get involved in the governance and taking forward the province of KwaZulu-Natal as well as the country at a national level and other provinces.
Mr. Tlabisa, what about further down the governance scales for the government of national unity? Are you now going to be working together to fix the metros that have really been broken? Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, Nelson Mandela Bay. If your GNU parties were to be working together there, those deadlocks could also have been improved and the corruption there also addressed. Is that on the agenda?
Definitely. The 2024 elections marked a turning point in our country. Although it were elections at the provincial and national government spheres, but willy-nilly, they will impact at a local government sphere. Once the provincial and national government establishment has been finalized, the next phase will be to look at the functionality of the local governments, because the municipalities that do not function well are the municipalities, in most cases, which are harm municipalities, where people spend most of their time arguing and debating their political ideologies in the boardroom, other than attending the issues that affect people. Definitely, there will be a relook at the municipalities that are hung and where there is contestation in order to infuse the spirit of a local government sphere where the government is working for unity and advancing people.
That's all very good news, and not surprisingly, the world is applauding. But what could derail this? What could knock it all off track?
I have confidence that the political parties got the message clear. There was no ambiguity. We did not just decide that, no, let us come together. The voters said, come together. And it's urgent. We had 14 days to meet the deadline. People were working day in and day out to find a common ground to get the inauguration done within 14 days, which ends today. with the inauguration of the NCOP, to me, that success in other countries, as you know, Alec, there is sufficient time for coalitions to engage and eventually form a government. In South Africa, it's only 40 days after the results, and we made it. To me, the sense of urgency is there, and we know what needs to be done when. We are all clear. Our country in the past 20 years has moved from good to bad and nearly to worse. There is no time to waste, but to reverse, push back the tides of poverty, crime, unemployment, corruption, and load shedding. The determination will have to overcome whatever challenge that can crop up. That is my view.
And finally, on the cabinet. Now, clearly, there has been a lot of criticism on the size of the cabinet. But with a government of national unity, many parties would like to be represented there. Have you broached that subject at all in your discussions?
The president indicated that he is configuring a new structure, bearing in mind the size of the cabinet. And once, as a leading party, have made up his mind, he will give the determination. And as when we are campaigning, we expressed that challenge that our cabinet is bloated. There are ministries which you don't need. There are deputy ministries which you don't need. We hope he will take into consideration, as he indicated that he is contemplating on it, because he himself is aware. And how to mitigate that now you have various political parties whom you must satisfy at an executive level so that they can have a platform to express their views and make their contribution. I'm sure he will find a way how to navigate and get a cabinet that will turn things around and make the economy of our country grow, create jobs, and deal with the challenges facing our people. Because, Alec, what creates a bigger problem is when you have a bloated cabinet that is failing to deliver. Then you say, but you see, the first thing you should do, just cut it down, because it is not giving any results. But sometimes if you have a big cabinet that is delivering to the maximum, you might applaud it, that big as it may, but the benefits are good.
Belinkosini Hlabisa is the president of the Inkatha Freedom Party, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.